Hey, Christine.
Hey, Lauren. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I started a new job. Everyone's really nice, and I just think it's a really good environment, and it really fits with the way that I see the world and think that therapy and education should be. So it feels like a good fit.
That's great. Yeah, so I also am vibing at my job. I'm just crossed the 2-month mark, actually. So life is good. Life is busy. Life is good. I feel like I say that a lot on this podcast. My husband and I have our big race coming up. Well, he has like his biggest one later in November, but the biggest one I'm doing with him is in August. So coming up pretty shortly here. Today, we are talking about Game of Thrones season 6. First half of season 6, which is the following episodes: The Red Woman, Home, Oathbreaker, Book of the Stranger, and The Door. Yeah, let's get into it, Christy.
Yeah, I love this season, actually. So the
I do too, and I didn't remember that I liked it this much.
Yeah, so the last couple episodes you guys heard of us is us probably our least enthusiastic so far.
We did not like season 5.
Fuck this season. All the plots are boring. We don't care about them. We don't care about these characters. It wasn't well done. Season 6 couldn't be like more the opposite. Like, everything's exciting. There's just a lot. There's a lot of Dany.
I mean, there's still a lot of High Sparrow nonsense in this season, but
and there's a little bit of Dornish nonsense.
Yeah, a little bit of that, but like, so just some like threads left over from the previous season on those things, but other than that, like, there's a lot of fresh plots that I'm really into. So yeah, so in the first episode, The Red Woman, we pick up right where we left off, which is with a dead Snarky Narg, Jon Snow, and a sad boy ghost. Davos, what? Okay, so Davos is like, everyone that he's cool with dies, except like the Red Woman, who he's not cool with, but like, she's the only person he knows anymore, I guess. And now he's just like, the North? I guess the North is cool. Like, why is he so into the North?
I just think like, he likes Jon Snow.
I guess. I mean,
like, he likes people that he thinks are honorable, and he thought Stannis was honorable until he went all fanatic, and it seems like Jon Snow is honorable, and also he's there. Like, where else is he gonna go? His sons died at the Blackwater. I don't know. Did Davos have a wife? Like, they mentioned him having sons. They never mentioned him having a wife. He must have at some point, but she's not around.
I feel like in the books, his wife is still around. He's just like not with her ever.
I don't remember. Like, I know he had sons. So he probably had a wife, because they weren't bastards, but I don't know.
So yeah, Davos is standing there, and he like looks at all the Magic King fluid on the snow, and then like he brings, I mean, no one knows that it's Magic King fluid except for us, but
we do. And I feel like Melisandre knows somehow.
She doesn't know. Maybe she does. It's hard to say, because like, from the minute she sees Jon Snow, she's like pretty into it, but she's also like into most attractive men. So like, hard to say. You know how I love to make a good nickname for everyone in my notes? I have a couple new ones.
Yes. All right, let's hear them.
Melodrama walks in and starts talking shit.
That's what I mean to say. Melodrama.
Yeah, so she comes in and she's talking fire shit. And then my following note is that Asshat Thorn is being an asshat, which just always is true. Oh, Asshat
Thorn is always true. Thorn in his ass.
So we'll come back to Jon Snow. But in the meantime, Ramsay. All right, I'm curious to talk to you about this, because we've talked about Ramsay like in Psychology Corner and everything, and I just want to know a little bit about this scene, because I think what we talked about before, like, Ramsay is straight up a psycho. Like, he doesn't have empathy, and like at the very ending of this scene, he like reconfirms that. But, like, he also does show some sort of sadness. Like, I don't know. It's weird. It's not, like, normal or anything. But he's kind of like, oh, she was the only one who was into how disgusting I am. I don't know. What do you have thoughts on this Ramsay scene?
It's like he does for, like, a second, but then immediately defends against it and is, like, feeder to the dogs. Like, it only, like, went so far. And I really thought that Roose Bolton had one over on him the first time I saw this episode.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
just,
yeah.
Like, Ramsay's going down. Like, his girl's gone. His wife escaped.
Yeah.
Reek escaped. And the dad's, like, Roose is having another son. He's not going to stand for the shit anymore.
And Roose has a really disgusting line right here. He talks about Ramsay playing games with Miranda and playing games with Sansa. Bitch, it's called rape. It's not funny or a game.
Yeah, it is gross. And it's just playing games with Dion.
And this is the thing about Roose Bolton. He, I think, is like an overlooked, shitty character. You know what we gotta do, Christine? We gotta add him to our list of bad dads.
Oh, he's a very bad dad. You're right.
Because it seems like it's very easy to overlook how shitty of a dad he is because his son is so much worse.
But yeah, but he's also became a dad out of rape, so that makes him automatically shitty.
Okay, so this is where Sansa and Theon, we cut back to them. They've escaped. They're being chased by bloodhounds. For some fucking reason, Theon is like, you know what? Sansa, keep running. I'm going to go tell them you're not here. I'm just going to tell the bloodhounds you're not here. They'll believe me. Yeah, do you know how dogs work? Have you heard of noses, Theon? Like, they're tracker dogs. That's what they're here for. And he's like, oh, she's not here. Just don't worry about it. She's not here. That was his whole plan.
That's the whole plan. Don't worry, officer. I don't have any drugs in the bag.
Exactly. So thank God for Brienne, who once again has the most insane luck of finding people in the woods at the perfect time.
Just running into people in the fucking woods every time.
I will
time.
Remind you, once again, this is even worse than usual, because now we're in the north, which is supposed to be the most, like, vast, uninhabited portion of Westeros. And she's like, oh, I'm just going to walk up on the person I'm looking for once again.
Maybe, I mean, I guess this time... Like, she already lost Arya, and she knew that Sansa was there, so maybe she was just kind of, like, waiting around to see if she'd escape anyway.
I mean, she was waiting for her to escape, but I feel like, how did she know that she left, finally? And she's like, you know what? Today's the day. I'm going to go for a ride and just check.
I think she just happened to be there from, like, killing Stannis, and, you know.
And then Sansa has this, like, they're like, all doing this little fight in the woods shit. And Sansa has this back to classic Sansa moment where she's the damsel in distress again. And I'm not really into it because I feel like her character has progressed.
I agree.
Past that quite a bit. And I know she, like, still doesn't have the skills to, like, participate in the fight. But I just feel like she cowers so much. I don't know. It just doesn't seem to, like, fit with her character progression. She would at least run, I feel like.
Wait, I had a thought about the Brienne finding Arya and Sansa every time. So maybe it's, like, some sort of magic because, like, Valyrian steel has, like, some sort of magical properties, right? And she has the Oathkeeper sword that was built from Ned Stark's sword melted down that Jaime gave her to find the girl. So maybe, I don't know. They never say that. But I wonder if that gives her, like, some sort of good luck at finding
maybe.
Them. Makes more sense than her just walking around the woods.
That's true. I like it more than it just being random.
Yeah, that's my delayed theory that I just came up with right now.
I like that more. All right, so after that, we go back over down to King's Landing. Cersei knows all her kids are going to die. She still has one left, but she's kind of like, all right, this is what's going to happen. She's very accepting of it, you know, because witches. Jaime has his... very infamous line of fuck everyone who isn't us. Pretty sure that's not very...
They don't do that.
No, I know. They literally only fuck each
that's
other.
That's literally the opposite of what they do.
I know. I guess we should talk about how there's some assassinations here.
This Dorne plot makes me want to vomit.
I wrote that this is the most boring assassination on this show. And all of the murder on Game of Thrones is, like, very dramatic, and you're supposed to gasp about it. And this one, I was just like, okay, yeah, that was my reaction. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit about the Sand Snakes.
Then we're back to Meereen.
Back to Meereen. Okay.
Meereen's a mess.
Yeah, Meereen's a fucking hot mess. How many times in this series is Tyrion gonna give Varys shit for not having a dick? Like, it's getting old, dude. Tyrion's pretty funny, but that joke is like, you've told the same joke a lot. And he says it like multiple times in this episode, again, I think.
It's almost like self-aware of it in this episode, because he's like, oh, don't worry, it's just what we do. I make eunuch jokes and he makes dwarf jokes. And then Varys goes, I don't make dwarf jokes.
Yeah, that's true. That is funny. But also I'm just like, all right, it's season six. We know that Varys doesn't have a dick. Thanks for reminding us. We get it.
No dicks. They do that with everybody. Like, I feel like whoever interacts with Theon for the rest of the show is just like, you got no dick.
Everyone reminds Varys. Everyone reminds Grey Worm. Everyone reminds Theon. Speaking of dicks, Daario and Jorah are just like out here comparing dick sizes, to which my note was, sorry, Jorah.
It's true. I love Daario says, like,
no one wants that.
And Jorah's like the motherfucker that like knew they had COVID in 2020, but kept going places anyway. Yes,
with his fucking grayscale.
Fuck Jorah right now.
I mean, fuck him the whole show. The entire series. But like, fuck Jorah.
Yeah, no, it's true. But this is like a different level of assholery. Like, it's just like, do not go around fucking giving people grayscale so you can like feel like the hero and go after your teenage love interest. Like, fuck you. I mean, she's not even a teenager anymore, but like, she was.
So the Dothraki, they kind of suck without Khal Drogo. Khal Drogo makes them like lovable, but mostly they're just kind of asshole rapers. I mean, we knew that, but I do love a scene where all the men are talking shit at a woman and she pretends she doesn't understand them, and then later she reveals it. They have a couple of those in this show with Dany, and this is another great one.
This whole scene's hilarious with like his wives saying like, cut off her head.
Cut off her head, cut off her head, yeah.
Cut off her head, cut off her head. And then he's like, the most beautiful, the best experience on earth is seeing a woman naked for the first time. And they're like, what about killing another cow? What about, like, conquering a village?
A whole bunch of examples of other things that are great. And he's like, fine, it's among the top five.
Naked women are in the top five. So funny. And then she, you know, tells him that she's a...
And then she says, I'm a Khaleesi, bitch.
And he's like, oh, shit, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Let's move over on to the free city of Braavos.
Ooh, Braavos.
The Arya arc in this season with the blind shit at the beginning.
That was good shit.
And her learning to become Daredevil is amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is where she's like totally blind. She's a beggar, and then the waif comes and starts like beating her up, and they're like not giving up on her, actually, it turns out. They're just going to teach her to be even cooler than she was. Great shit. As soon as I saw this for the first time, I was like, oh, hell yeah, she's going to be like this bomb assassin.
Daredevil, yes.
Back to the wall. What we all care about. Dead Jon Snow. And Ghost, who is friend.
Saggy lady.
I told you I had more of these nicknames. This is my next note. It says, Davos is finally happy to be on the same team as Melis Letra for once. And then my following note is, speaking of which, time for her to fill the boob quota. So this is the one where it ends with her being 1,000 years old. She's very, I don't know what this was about. Like, what, why?
It was another thing that, like, was a big reveal that didn't matter anymore. I think it was just showing how old she is. That, like, she's just been around for, like, hundreds and hundreds of years.
Great, but why?
I thought that she would be of use in fighting the White Walkers, which she, like, kind of is, but not really.
I guess it shows us that she magic and she about to do magic. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It doesn't need to be here. I'm not like as mad about it as some things that don't do. No. Blah, blah. I'm not as mad about it as some of the things that don't need to be in the show that are. But like there's just a lot of shit, like you said, that has no.
I thought it was a big reveal at the time. And now looking back, it really wasn't.
Well, it's an end of the episode. Like, they always end on a big dramatic thing. And, you know, they play it off as if it's something important, the way that they frame it. And yet, it never matters.
Yeah. I think if anything, it just, like, kind of shows her vulnerability.
I don't know. Let's move into episode two.
Episode two, Bran is back, baby. And I'm, like, actually kind of excited to see him.
Bran is back. Bran is tree.
Bran is good in this season and this season only.
This is the season where we wanted Bran, because at the time when this season was on, we were all, this is, I think, because of this season, I think, is why we have the podcast, because this is when we really started texting about Arplazel equals J and who fucked a dragon and all this shit.
Yes.
So this is like, this is why we're here, you guys. And this is where we were like, we want to see Bran scenes because Bran can see into the past. He can show us that Jon Snow is actually a Targaryen. So yeah, we were very excited every time. And we actually get to see the beginning of that in this episode. We get to see Bran go back and see Lyanna. Yeah, so he goes back in time. He sees baby Lyanna. He sees baby Ned Stark.
And baby Hodor,
a.k.a. Willis.
Willis. And he's not Hodoring. He can talk.
Not Hodor. Yeah, so very exciting Bran season, even though we've hated Bran for 5 seasons. Back at the wall, Thorne, guess what he's doing? He's being a shithead. Davos, guess what he's doing? He's like, we got to stand up for honor and fight. And Ghost also is like, I'm down for that. And then the Free Folk are like, you know what? Killing Snarg, that's bad. We don't like that.
So fuck the Night's Watch. Well, those specific Night's Watchmen.
Yeah. I mean, mostly though, like, kind of fuck the Night's Watch. And then down in King's Landing, we got some the Mountain. I have a question for you about this, though.
Yes.
So we got the Mountain. He's dead. He's going around killing people who talk shit about Cersei. Do you think he smells dead?
He looks like he smells dead.
He looks like he smells black dead. Face. Yeah, but no one's like... I mean, I guess everyone kind of smells bad in King's Landing, so maybe it's just normal.
It's true.
But, like, he looks like he smells really bad.
He does look like he smells dead.
I think he smells dead.
And then Cersei hangs out with him all the time, like, in close proximity.
But, I mean, she's drunk all the time.
That's true. That's why she doesn't have the wine in front of her face. She can't smell him.
Also, Marcella, she's dead. For once, Cersei and Jaime aren't at a dead body together, so they can't fuck over a dead body. So that's good. Tommen, he's having a rough life. Back in Slaver's Bay, across the Narrow Sea, the slavers be slaving again. That's not good.
Oh, no.
The dragons are starving. That's not good. A lot of things are not going well. Dany is missing. It's bad. And then Tyrion, he comes up with this great idea. He's like, you know what? I'm going to go feed dragons. I'm going to go free them and feed them. It's going to be a good time. I guess he doesn't feed them. He just talks about feeding them.
He gives them food.
Does he? Or does he just take their collars off and run away?
I mean, that would defeat the purpose, wouldn't it?
I know he says he's going to feed them. I feel like he doesn't actually do it, though. I think he just lets them go.
We also get the classic line in this episode of I drink and I know things that has made HBO and a lot of people making their own rogue shit a lot of money.
Very relatable. So he goes down into the dragon pit. He's like, dragon's his friend, right? And they're like, maybe. And then he lets them go. And then they his friend. The second one is like, oh, you're freeing us. Very into it. I can't tell which one is which in the dark, but they're both happy dogs. Okay, so this is time for Ramsay to do just, you know, a little casual patricide. And it is indeed very casual.
It is casual, similar to what I said in the last episode. I didn't realize who stabbed who at the beginning of this, like, the first time I saw it. It, like, looks like it could have gone either way until they pulled apart. Like, I very much thought that Roose was gonna, he goes, you'll always be my firstborn, and then I thought he was gonna stab Ramsay.
I just always thought it was Ramsay, but...
It would be very, the Lannisters send their regards stab.
True.
You know, with his little lines... And it would make sense if he was like, I'm going to kill you because I don't need you anymore. And he had a line earlier of like, if you have a reputation as a mad dog, you'll get put down like one, which felt like a threat.
Yeah, for sure.
So I sort of think he was going to kill Ramsay at some point.
I mean, one of them was always going to kill the other one.
Yeah, but I think Ramsay like knew, and that's why he made his move at that moment. Because like the things he was saying in that scene made it seem like, you know, Ramsay was not long for this world unless he went for it. And then it's baby killing time.
Oh, pretty shitty. I do love the adorable cane corsos. But yeah, this is a pretty shitty murder. This belongs, Christine, on our brutal deaths.
Brutal deaths, yeah. Yeah, and then there's more murdering happening at the Iron Islands.
Okay, what are you, like, overall feelings on the Iron Islands plot in season 6 thoughts? I think I know what you're going to say. Go for it.
I just think Euron always sucks. Like, there's nothing...
This is one of our biggest disagreements, because And I don't even know why I'm into Euron because he sucks so hard, but like,
he's like Walmart Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what it is.
Even his, this whole, I wrote like even his whole dialogue, like when he's about to kill Balon on the bridge is just so dumb. I don't even remember what he says. I was just like, is this real? What does he say?
I've got you. I wrote a bunch of it down. Are you ready? He says that I am the drowned god. And he says that I am the storm. He is clearly insane, but that's why I'm saying I know that he sucks, but for some reason I'm like, hell yeah, bring it on, Euron. Very into it. I don't know why.
I like the Iron Islands plot. I don't like the way that Euron's characterized. Like in the books, he was like, he had a blue tongue, I think, or was that, I don't know. There's other Greyjoys in the books. I think it was Victarion had the blue tongue, who was his like brother, like his hand of the king or whatever, but they didn't put him in the show. So like Euron was like into like magic and shit and was really creepy and like knew, like, because he sailed all over the world and he like knew shit that made him really powerful and dangerous. This guy's just an asshole.
Like, I agree with you on everything you have to say about Euron, but I also just like am into it for some reason. I don't know if maybe it's like, and I'm not usually like this, but maybe it's like the women who are like Ted Bundy is hot or something. I don't know.
Pirates are hot.
Yeah, maybe it's a pirate thing. Yara, in the meantime, is like, maybe I should be king now. And they're like, well, you got to have a king's moot and good luck because we're sexist and we're proud of that. We love being sexist. Fuck you. So that's how things are going on the Iron Islands at this point. In the meantime, though, back up to the wall, Davos, he goes over to Melis Letra and he's like, did you ever think about maybe, like, bringing Snarg back to life? Ever think about that? Can you do it? Can you try it? And she's, like, meanwhile having this huge crisis of faith. And this is a fun little plot twist because, of all people, Davos is going to be the one to, like, restore her faith.
Mm-hmm. So she says she doesn't have a gift. He's like, you ever tried? And she's like, fine.
She burns some of his hair. So I guess King's hair is also good if you don't have any king's fluids on hand.
She washes the body, which is very similar to the washing the bodies in the House of the Black and White. And then she puts her hands on him and says some Valyrian shit and thinks nothing happens and gets sad and goes to bed.
Yeah, and everyone's like leaving. They're like, bye, I guess it didn't work. And then Ghost sits up and we've got the return of the Narg. And that's the ending of episode 2. Let's go into episode 3, starting the same place, Naked Johnny Boy.
Feast opens with Jon Snow's booty.
Mm-hmm. Sure does. He's like, he is clearly like, fuck, I'm meant to be dead. He starts having a little panic attack because he's meant to be dead. And then Davos is like, I got you, bud. And then Melisandre comes in and she's like talking about how Jon Snow is the chosen one and it wasn't Stannis all along. And Davos is like, okay, fuck off. Like, he's having a moment. Like, can we not be so life and
like,
death?
Like, what happens after you die?
And he's yeah, just like, exactly. And Davos is like, doesn't matter right now.
I died? What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
What happens after you die? I don't know. You wake up 3 days later and some lady's like crawling all over you asking you what happened.
Yeah, apparently. I do love when he walks out down the stairs into like the Castle Black courtyard that he sees all of the Night's Watch boys and the free folk like standing together and they're all like there for him. I love that. He like, and he's having like throughout like this next couple episodes, he's kind of like, I failed. But like this shows that he didn't.
Yeah. I like when Tormund says like, they think you're a god. I know better. What kind of yes. a god would have a pecker that small?
Yes. So good. Classic Tormund. He has like some good shit in this season. And then speaking of ridiculous, Gilly's having a rare old time at sea and Sam is legit dying.
Oh my God. He's like getting sick and she's just like, I always thought they called it the sea because it was as far as the eye could see.
Yes. She's like giddy and having the most fun she's had in her entire life. And Sam is like out, down for the count, not having a good time. He's puking a lot. I don't, like, know how you can have that much puke in your body. It's insane. He then is like, you know what? We're going to take you to my family home because you can't come to Old Town. And she, like, I've talked about this before. She's, like, got this unrealistic, like, you said we were going to be together. You'd go where I'd go. Like,
doesn't like that.
I also have to take up some issue here because she is like, she calls Sam the father of her son. I get it. Her dad is her father of her son. That sucks, obviously. So I get that, like, she doesn't want to remember that, but she's, I don't know. I don't, like, love that because it's like, oh, are you just going to go around telling the entire world that Sam broke his vows by fathering a son? And, like, I don't know. It's, like, it's not very cool of her. Yeah, they fucked, but, like, he's still into being in the Night's Watch to some extent. Like, I know he was, like, never really chose that, but, like, because of John and all this stuff, he's very, like,
committed to it. Yeah, he made a vow.
Yeah, he's, like, he's had this great opportunity to come out of this. He's going to go become a maester because of he's part of the Night's Watch. Like, this is some good shit for him. And then, meanwhile, she's like, you're my child's father. And it's a little weird. I don't know. Back to some Bran visions. We're going to find out about Snarky Targaryen.
Oh my god, yes! This is where they go to the Tower of Joy. And
they don't actually find out in this scene, but
but the two of Rhaegar's most, like, strongest, best swordsmen, instead of being on the battlefield with him, were told to watch this tower. So Ned Stark is like, what the fuck is in that tower?
And then they, like, make us wait. The old tree man is like, that's enough. You're going to get stuck in your visions. Which, like, fair, because that kind of happens later.
Get your shit together, Bran.
Daenerys is arriving in Vaes Dothrak, going to become a Dash Colleen member in the hut full of cranky bitches.
Yeah, Dash Colleen kind of sucks, but is also kind of cool. Like, it's cool that, like, such, like, a brutal society has this council of elders who are, like, these, like, woman crones.
This council of elders who are, like, 20-year-old widows.
Yeah, yeah, most of them are young, that's true. But, like, the idea behind it is this is, like, this council of elders, and, like, they kind of, like, defer to them. But at the same time, it feels like it's almost, like, spiritually they're a council of elders, and in reality, the Khals don't give a fuck. Like, they're just, like, prisoners there. It's, like, the only level of respect that women get in this society, and even so, like, it's not that much respect. It's just kind of, like, here, take your fancy house and your fancy city and move the fuck on with your life. Like, you know, like, shut the fuck up. Be lucky you got that.
Well, and then this old lady, she's like, yeah, we all thought that our calls were going to rule the world. We're all the same. And Danny's like, no, we're not the same. I'm the most cool, insane ruler everywhere in the world. I didn't say that sentence very well. But Danny's like, I'm the shit and you're not. We're not the same. I have dragons. I can be lit on fire and be fine.
But I love that she's finishing her Dothraki journey. Like, it feels like,
yes,
I'm going to go on a rant again. Here we go. Because so much of this season and the one before and the one after it is, like, really just, like, she's kind of closing all these circles in her journey and, like, finding closure and learning what she needed to learn from these things so that she can be a better queen. So that she's, like, ready for her destiny. And then it didn't go there, which is really fucking annoying because this is so much of her, like, going back to her Dothraki roots and, like, finding closure with that, because the first season is very, like, we talked a lot about this, but, like, how, like, the Dothraki's kind of romanticized, and then when you get to this season, you see, like, no, there are a lot of, like, rapey-ass bastards. Like, it's not sexy, you know, and, like, she's kind of seeing that and, like, realizing, like, there's a lot that's problematic about this culture, and there's a lot that I love about it, and there's a lot that, you know, there's a lot of great people that I would just be better at ruling them than these filthy rapists are.
Yeah, it's, I feel like, you know, when she was with Khal Drogo, her worldview was just even smaller than it is, and it was, she always had, like, these big grand visions of everything, but she's grown even more since then. She used to look at these Khals as being powerful men, you know, and now she's like, they're nothing, I'm gonna take over.
I had a thought. I even read this in my notes. Did you see the new Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
Okay. So in that, I mean, this isn't really a spoiler, but if you haven't seen it yet, maybe skip ahead. But, like, a Scarlet Witch is the villain in it, and she's, like, bad. I feel like Marvel did such a better job of, like, taking this character that we loved and making her bad, because one, they spent more time building her up to being bad, but also there was like a reason. Like, I feel like with Dany, if she was like if Dany had gotten into the Red God shit and thought somehow she had a way to bring like Khal Drogo and her kid and like Missandei back, and she was like the chosen one or whatever, like I could see her going mad.
Mm-hmm.
The way it happened just doesn't make any fucking sense.
No, because even here, like, she is still all of the good things. Like, she sees this shitty society and is like, no, they're going to be part of this brand new world that I'm building. It's going to be great. She's not coming in to destroy the Dothraki. She's like, I'm coming in to lead you onto something greater. You know, I don't know. It's yes, she's still a tyrant, but like, she's not a murder tyrant.
No, yeah. I mean, she's definitely a colonizer, which isn't great. But like, her main thing is like, stop raping and enslaving people, which is a good message to want to spread, honestly.
Yep. So back in King's Landing, there's a bunch of shit there. So they've got the little small council meeting. Love this bit where Pycelle kind of puts his foot in his mouth talking shit about Cersei and the mountain and all that, and they're like walking in behind him, and then he sees them and he farts out of terror. It's great.
I hate Pycelle so much.
He's the worst. He's not the worst because Jorah's on this show, but he's pretty bad.
Yeah, he's just useless.
Elena has another, oh, she always has the best lines. She has this one, you know, Cersei keeps thinking that she's the queen, and Elena's like, yeah, the queen is the one who's married to the king. I know it's hard to tell in your family who's married to who and like how relationships work, but you're not the queen, so maybe fuck off.
The queen is the one who's married to the king.
Love it. Yeah, and then like, Cersei and Jaime try to just like say, well, we're here and you can't force us to leave. And then they're like, all right, then we'll leave. Yeah, it's great. Let's go talk about Arya. Okay, she is, once again, I said she's working on becoming Daredevil. Oh, and then this is where she gets her vision back, is in this episode. So she has to drink like the water that murders you from the murder well.
Yeah.
Now they're saying to her that no one is telling her that she'll be fine as long as she's no one. Now, I wasn't always convinced that she really was no one, because like, even in the next couple episodes, like, she's still bickering with the waif about being no one. However, in episode 5, which we're going to come to in a little bit here, she is reminded of who she is. And I kind of think like, rewatching this, that she was more committed than I thought she was to being no one. Like, she was fine with going down that path until she was reminded about her family.
I think so too. And until she like saw behind, once again, I want to talk about it later, like saw behind the curtain of like what the faceless men were actually doing.
Yeah. So it's a little combination of things. But I think at this point, when she drank the water and like got her vision back, I think she really, even though it's not totally clear, because like I said, she's still arguing with them about like, who are you and all this bullshit, I think she must have been pretty committed to at least continuing down that path. Back in the north, they're the northern guys, they're not into wildlings, aka the free folk. So they're like, you know what? Hating groups of people, that seems like a good reason to be friends with Ramsay. So fuck the Umbers, fuck the Karstarks. No one should be friends with Ramsay. That was a bad idea.
It is a bad idea. They bring Doge head, right?
They bring Shaggy Dog's head, RIP. They bring Osha. They bring Rickon. It's all bad news bears.
All bad news bears.
It's all bad. And then up at the wall, Johnny Boy has to hang a bunch of people, including a child. And then he has his beautiful line, my watch has ended.
My watch has ended.
Because he's fucking died.
Because he died. So his watch has ended.
He did it. It's time to move on. Bye forever. Night's Watch. Episode 4. Book of the Stranger. So Sansa comes back. She's up at Castle Black, and she has this beautiful line about how they never should have left Winterfell. True. And then Sansa, she's like, we got to go get Winterfell. And Jon is kind of just like, can we not? I don't feel like it. But Sansa, she is all in on, no one's going to like rescue me as a damsel in distress. No one's going to do anything for me. I got to take the North. I'm going to do it myself. And Jon, you need to help me. And John's like, ugh, I don't feel like it.
She's like, I'm going to do it with or without you.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, then they get, like, that note about Rickon, so.
Oh, yeah.
You don't really have a choice come anymore.
Come see, come watch. Yeah,
come see, come see, come see. All right, we got to talk about everyone's most favorite character, Robin Aaron.
He's just like, can we throw him out the moon door? That's his answer to everything in life.
He's very easily suggested. And of course, he is matched up with master manipulator, Peterfile. I hate it. I hate all of it. He just wants the moon door.
Yeah, but they decide to join the fray. So the Knights of the Vale have not really fought with the realm.
What is Peterfile up to now? Like, what the fuck does he want anymore? Because
he wants to help Sansa because he wants to marry Sansa.
I do think that he's still into Sansa.
That's what I'm saying. I think he wants to, like, help her beat Ramsay to make up for what he did so that he can, like, marry her. That's absolutely what I think he's doing. And, like, if he defeats the Boltons, he's Lord of the Vale, and he marries a Stark, like, he has the North. He has
Yeah, it's just, Vale. Like, the weird thing is that he, like, married Sansa off to get this position.
So that part just made no sense, honestly. Like, because it was just, it was another plot in the book that they just put Sansa in.
Yeah.
And it, like, didn't end up making any sense.
Yeah, no, I don't think his, it doesn't make sense for his character that he, like, sold Sansa off, but also now he's like, I'm gonna fuck her again.
Yeah. Which,
if you can read between the lines, that's what he wants.
I think that was always his goal anyway.
It was, but so it's weird that he ever married her off to fucking Ramsay. I don't know. It's stupid. But here we are now, and he wants to get in her pants once again. Dumb of you to think that she'd still be down with that.
Absolutely not.
Can we talk about Dario and Jorah again? Because this is, I think, one of your favorite scenes of all time.
Yes. He refers to sex with Daenerys as riding the dragon.
Yes. And not only that, he just, like, they're walking along in silence, and all of a sudden he's just like, I don't think you can ride the dragon. He's
like, maybe when you were a young man, but not now. It's hard for me. And Jorah's
like, huh? What are you talking about? Like, what? He's like, yeah, you can't fuck her. You suck. No one wants you. And it's true. It's true, Dario. You're right.
Why did the show kill off Jorah and not Barristan? I mean, kill off Barristan and not Jorah.
Seriously.
Like, wouldn't this be so much better if it was Barristan and Dario?
So much better. Yeah, and then Dario sees the grayscales, and he knows that Jorah is a fuckwad. I mean, I think he already knew that, but, like, now he knows that he's the guy who has tested positive
super
for COVID.
Super spreader.
And fuck
this guy. Also, honestly, fuck Tyrion in this episode. He makes me so mad because he reminds me of our fucking government right now. I don't even want to get into it. If you get the metaphor, you know, you know. But, like, they're showing up like, we want to do slavery. And Tyrion's like, how about we compromise? You can do a little slavery. And the people who are slaves are like, no, there's no a little slavery. It's bad. And he's just like, just a little slavery is okay as a treat. As a reward, have some fucking sex workers that I'm also treating like property in this scene all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's not in character for Tyrion. It's not in character for him. It's weird. It's Jorah-esque. I don't get why it's here.
I think he's just trying to show that, like, Tyrion's being politically savvy, but he's not at the end of the day. He's like, he's not, because then he's showing up. Like, they show up and attack them anyway at the end of the season, spoiler alert. So, like, what Tyrion's deal did nothing. He's pissed off the slaves.
Meanwhile, in King's Landing, Margaery goes to see Loras. There's Loras is broken as fuck, sparrow bullshit. Tommen is catching on to the fact that his mom is a huge bitch. I mean, he's gradually been catching on to that for a little while, I think, but it's very depressing for him. And then the small council finally comes together to defeat the High Sparrow. They're like, we gotta do it. It's gonna happen. Meanwhile, back on Pike, Theon has arrived. I actually don't have a whole lot of notes about this scene.
No, but he's just back. And he doesn't want to be king. He supports Yara.
Yeah. She's as soon as she realizes that he's just like, I'm here for you, then she's fine with it. It's kind of dumb. Then we got another Ramsay scene. Osha is trying to murder him. The same shit she pulled before where she's like, I'll start fucking you and then pull a knife on you. But obviously Ramsay has heard about this and he pulls a knife on her. He then continues to eat his apple with his murder weapons. So that's a cute move for him. Classic Ramsay. So yeah, dead OSHA. All right. I forgot about this until I started rewatching this season. I totally like don't know why I forgot about this because it's great. Tormund and Brienne sitting in a tree.
Oh yeah. Tormund loved Brienne.
Yeah. Loves her, and she's like, she doesn't want to admit that she's into it, but like,
then she talks to Sansa later, and it's just like, I don't want to leave you with this man.
I don't even think it's that she doesn't want to admit. She's just like, is having this huge crush and like, doesn't know what to do with that.
Yeah, but she also thinks he's like, so like, she's like too proper, like, she thinks he's just like too much, like, she doesn't trust him.
Okay, this episode has a beautiful ending. We're back in Vase to Thrak. Dany has this amazing conversation with all the calls. She says, none of you are fit to lead the Dothraki, but I am, so I will.
And then she murdered them all.
I said, oops, all fire.
Oops, all fire. Then she comes out naked, like, I am your god now. Kneel all the calls me, and dead. They all fucking do.
She's queen as fuck.
She is the Khaleesi of all of the Dothraki.
It's another one of those goosebump episode ends.
It really is.
Go watch it, you guys. I don't know what you're doing if you're listening to our podcast and not rewatching these episodes alongside us. I mean, fine, but
you just want recaps, but watch like this scene at least.
Watch
just
the scene.
Remember the magic.
Even if you did already watch it, go watch it again. It's beautiful. Episode 5, The Door. Let's wrap this up.
Like halfway through this episode, I wrote, because I did not look at the name of the episode. I was just watching along. And I forgot which episode this was. And about halfway through, I realized, and I wrote, all caps, oh my god, fuck, this is a Hodor episode. I was not prepared. This episode fucked me up for, like, weeks after the first time.
Yep, this definitely was the one that made me the most sad for the longest period of time. But let's start at the top. Sansa, super into the North now. Peterfile shows up. He's like, he goes, I'm glad I found you unharmed. And she's like, unharmed?
Really? Huh?
This scene is amazing because she has this great confrontation, which is like a new thing for Sansa. She's got her confidence back now that she's in the North. She's like, I'm going to make this man admit that rape exists and that it happened to me and that he's fine with it. And that's exactly what she does. And it's great. And he just has to...
With, like, Brienne behind her, like, threatening to...
Yes.
Like, kill
and he has
him
to go running back him. South with his tail between
He's
his
like,
legs.
My lady asked you a question.
Yes! Oh, love it. We talked a little about Arya having this, like, moment of remembering her family. So she is sent to kill this woman named Lady Crane. And she goes to, like, spy on her... She is an actress, and they're doing a play, which happens to be about her family and her dad being murdered. And Christine, do you know, I didn't actually think about this before. Was Arya aware of Sansa being married to Tyrion?
I had that thought, too. I don't think she would have known.
I don't think she would have.
Unless and so the Hound might have told her.
Oh, she might have. Or he might have. Yeah, that's true. But I think, like... She obviously is kind of, like, fucked up about seeing the parody of her dad. But I think, like, what really stands out to her is this parody of Sansa. Because, like, I don't know. I feel like she just, like, has... She's older now and she, like, has this empathy for Sansa and, like, all the shit that Sansa had to go through for the first time. And she just hasn't thought about it in a long time. And she's like, shit.
Yeah, and she kind of got away and Sansa was left there to, you know, pick up the pieces.
Yeah, and she still cares about her. And she remembers that now.
This play is great, though.
Oh, yeah. Hilarious.
Shut up, you swine. Cersei, more wine.
So good. She also then has, like you were saying, too, she's kind of confronted with, like, the murder for money situation and, like, what that really means. She's like, oh, this person I'm supposed to kill seems, like, fine. Why do I have to kill her? And they're like, you don't have to ask questions. You just got to do it. They paid. Like, so she's still got a touch too much morality for that whole situation, even though she is, like, a very skilled killer. She wants to know, like, why they deserve it, which, good question, Arya.
Yeah, she's out for, like, vengeance and justice, like,
yeah, everyone on her list was on her list for a reason.
And then they're just more like hired hitmen, and she's not down for that.
Christine, we have another plot piece that we got to talk about here. We've been waiting for more information on forever, so this was like exciting to get, but also like, what was it for? We find out here the Children of the Forest, we're back with Bran, by the way, here, they made the White Walkers.
And we see how the White Walkers are made. When a first man and a Children of the Forest hate each other very much, they do a special stabby to have a baby White Walker.
Yes, that is the talk. I don't know, like, this seemed very important again at the time.
And is not relevant
later. And it was also all the information we ever got. So,
yeah,
I guess it's like, it's an answer because, like, we never do, like, we've always not known much about the White Walkers. So at least we got something. So it's there for that, I guess.
We know they're created with dragon glass. They're created from a human.
Mm-hmm.
The actor who she's stabbing in that scene is the stunt double who plays the Night King, actually, which is cool. But yeah, but it never became relevant, even in the last season when they're talking about, like, who is the Night King? Like, I thought maybe there'd be backstory of, like, who is this guy that they kidnapped and why did he turn on his own people? Like, you know what I mean? And no, none of that. They're just like, he's Jeth incarnate. He was a dude once. What happened? Like, I was like, I don't know. There were all these theories, like, maybe it was Stark.
I would watch a Night King spinoff.
There was supposed to be the Long Night show, but they canceled it, like, right after they needed the pilot.
Yeah. Anyway, let's go back to Pike. It's King's Moot time.
I wrote, the Ironborn are the only kingdom with democracy, and it's somehow worse. Like, that's it's true. Somehow worse than all the other
that
systems.
That is true.
Because it just depends on sexism and, like, drowning people and hoping they survive.
Yes, the sexism is just rampant as fuck.
So Yara gives all these great reasons why she should be king, and they're just kind of like, nah, vaginas.
Yeah, because then Euron's like, well, I'm going to go find Daenerys, and I have a penis, so, like, I can fuck her. And they're like, great, we're into that. And it's like, that's your plan? What?
Yes. Yara's probably better at pleasing ladies than Euron is. Let's get real. Except that you think Euron's hot.
yeah, I mean.
But he probably, like, knows he's hot and doesn't know what he's doing.
The Iron Boys, I have a note that they cheer for murder a lot. Kind of uncool.
Yeah, they love murder.
Maybe, like, chill out a little on that. Speaking of things that suck, Jorah and Dany once again face to face. She's like,
this.
You disobeyed me and came back twice. And then he's like, but I am dying. And she's like, oh, now I'm sad for you. Like, come on, Dany.
Ugh.
Don't
pity
him.
Has such a soft spot for this.
I don't either. He sucks.
He sucks Dany. So much.
Ugh, I don't get it. Because, like, normally she has a pretty good bullshit meter.
Yeah, I don't get why she, like, is all, like, forgives this guy now just because he's dying. And also, he didn't really save her life. Like, I guess he did at the Marine training pit. Never mind. I thought she meant in by stealth track. I'm like, no, that was all her.
Yeah, that was all her for sure.
One of my favorite, like, minor Game of Thrones characters is this Red Priestess that Tyrion and Varys kind of team up with to get everybody on Daenerys' side in Meereen. She's, like, I don't know. She's one of my biggest, like, uncommon Game of Thrones crushes. I just think she's gorgeous. I think she's creepy as fuck, the shit she says to Varys and, like, the look on his face afterwards. I don't know. I really like that scene. I wish that we saw more of her in the future. But then, you know, she's really just kind of in this scene.
She's like a fun, witchy character. Yeah.
Yeah. True. Love her. So she's my favorite, like, minor character. I don't even know her name.
I don't either. But she's already a better Red Priestess than Melisandre. She's not trying to fuck everyone for...
See, that's what I said. Like, Melisandre would have been a really cool character if she wasn't so, like, thirsty. And I feel like that's why I really like this Red Priestess.
Yeah. Yeah, Melisandre's just too thirsty. Back to Bran. Okay, so the zombies can see him now and because he's hanging out in his visions too much. You were warned!
You were warned, Bran.
You were warned not to stay
just
there,
like,
too much.
He was told not to climb. Bran fucking sucks. He shouldn't be king.
And then, yeah, so, like, the Night King touches him. they can like come find him now. It's like some kind of beacon for them, or like magic key, I don't know. But before that happens, Sansa and Jon and Davos are like planning their attack to get back to Winterfell. Sansa, this is a good scene because they're like, well, Jon doesn't have this dark name. And she's like, yeah, but I do. And everyone's kind of like taken aback for a second. And then she's like, and Jon also, the blood, the same. And like, she doesn't want to overdo it. Like, she's not Daenerys, which is fine. Like, she's kind of finding a happy middle ground. I'm actually into it, but
I feel like by the end of the show, she does become like, no, I'm the fucking queen of the North.
Right, but she like, she's pulling on some of her Cersei training where she's like, I gotta be like subtle and manipulative here and like make sure everyone's on board. I don't want to like shock them too much and like scare them away from helping me, you know? Mm-hmm. I like it. It's good. She's like, oh, John's coming too. Don't worry. Like,
and she knows she needs Jon Snow to get like the White Walkers or the, yeah. Not the White Walkers, listen to me, the Free Folk.
She needs Jon for the Free Folk.
And he's a good fighter and he's going to like defend her honor because that's who he is. So she doesn't want to like alienate him and say
it. Well, and it's like someone that she trusts by her side.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then the final scene. So you guys, this is where Hodor dies because Bran is a fucktard.
Yes. I put RIP Summer, a very good doge. Two doges dead in this episode series. Not cool.
I know. Yeah,
in this podcast episode, we lost two dire doges.
Ugh, not cool.
Oh, there, how many doges left? It's just Ghost and Nymeria. Nymeria did, she did a big ghost. So she's,
yeah,
like,
she ghosted. She ghosted the show.
All the other doges are gone. And then I put RIP Leaf and then Hold the Door, Hodor.
This fucked me up for a long time.
It's fucked me up for a long time, too.
And, like, some people had those doorstops that said Hodor on them. Hodor. And I was, like, too mad about it to even think that was funny. I was like, no, I'm sad. Like, not in good taste, you guys.
This, like, stayed with me. Like, I feel like this is one of the deaths that, like, I don't know. It's just very memorable. I think that's, like, what's great about this season, too. Like, you told me about people who died at the season 8. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. But, like, this just, like, really got me. Like, very emotional.
Yeah, I'm gonna actually add Hodor to our brutal deaths scene. So, name, Hodor, how he died. Was he Brand to death? Brand / WWs.
Yeah, Brand kind of like sacrificed him by warging into him and making him hold the door.
Brand made him Hodor and he killed him. When Mira like looks back over her shoulder. And then they, like, disappear off into the... It's so fucking sad.
Scratching his face.
And he, like, doesn't know what's going on because Bran already fucked his mind up.
Do you think young Hodor saw his death? And that's why he was
I think so, yes. Because
Bran was... That's always how I understood that scene.
Yes, because Bran was warging into him in both timelines.
Yeah, and then as a young child, he's like, hold the door! Hold the door! Hold the door! Like he knew why he was saying that. And then do we think Hodor remembered that throughout, or do you think it was, like, repressed?
I don't think so. I think it reverted him to, like, a simpler mind.
Yeah, this, like,
because he couldn't even hold any of that information. So on that horrible note,
that's it. Christine, that's all she wrote.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I was not prepared. I almost forgot we have to do Fuck, Marry, Kill. Yara Greyjoy. Theon Greyjoy in season 6. Euron Greyjoy.
All right. I'm going to kill Euron. Marry Theon. Fuck Yara.
All right.
But I feel like me and Theon are married, like...
I'm killing, like, Theon, dude.
Really? I feel like me and Theon are married in the way that, like, Marjorie was married to what's his face in the first couple seasons.
Yeah.
Like Theon's the beard, and I'm with Yara.
Yeah. No, I'm gonna marry Yara and fuck Euron. Gotta try it, you know. Try it once. I'm not gonna marry the dude.
All right, I'm gonna pull in new people. So I'm also gonna do Euron, Lady Crane, and the Red Priestess. We don't know her name.
Oh, all right. Oh, this is a tough one because, like, we know some of them more than others, but none of them a lot. Euron the most. Euron, Lady Crane and that red bitch. Okay. I gotta decide. I just want to fuck all of them and not do anything else, but that's not an option. So I'm going to... Which one? The problem is I don't really want to marry any of them. I guess I'll marry... Like, I could say the priestess, but she's just hot. I don't know what she's actually like, you know? Lady Crane seems like kind of a loose cannon, and Euron's definitely not marriage material. So I guess I'll go with Lady Crane to marry, and then I'll fuck the priestess, and I guess I will kill Euron in this one, so.
I think I would have done the same thing. Because Lady Crane later, like, she, like, I mean, we're not to those episodes yet. I forget when that happens. She, like, cleans Arya up with a wound.
She's nice, yeah.
Her some food. Like, I feel like she'd be supportive.
Christine, what is going on in your life? What do you want to plug?
Not much. I'm just going to plug my bands like I always do. It's at Chaos Pixie NYC. We're still not doing much. I mean, you know, it takes a while to get projects off the ground, as everyone knows. But we have a bass player now, which is exciting.
Oh, yeah?
So... Yeah, kind of in process, like very new. She's learning our stuff. But yeah, hoping to play some shows in the fall. That's the goal right now.
Dope.
How about you?
I will plug my Instagram. You guys can follow me there. It is low_Mazzy. You can check out my links for a discount code for Athletic Brewing, which is a delicious non-alcoholic beer. They have tons of different options. I love that shit. I drink alcohol too, but most of the time I don't feel like it anymore.
I really like that.
I'm in my 30s. Odd. I love beer though, so it's a great option for me. And you guys should also go on Instagram and follow _Pod of the Dragon. Follow that on Twitter too. You can also find us on Facebook. You guys, we said recently, we hired our awesome new audio engineer, Stu. He's super cool. He's been editing our podcast episodes. And if you guys want to help support us, you can go check out our merch store on Etsy. Search for Pod of the Dragon on there and look at the shops. You will be able to find us. Go buy yourself a t-shirt. Help us keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, just keep doing that. Yeah, if you want us to keep being a podcast... at least if you can't support us by buying stuff, at least rate, review, subscribe, share it on social media, especially once the season starts, if you like this stuff. So, you know, get your friends in on it now so you can share these episodes when the season starts.
Yeah, we are going to be completing this Game of Thrones rewatch series before House of the Dragon comes out on HBO. And then we will be diving into recaps of that show. We're super excited.
Yeah, I guess so that we will see you next week for the second half of season 6.
We'll be back. And in the meantime, dreams didn't make us podcasters. Dragons did.
Dracarys.
Bye forever.
Bye forever.
By the way, all of you dirty bastards who've been jerking off to Melisandre's boob quotas all this time, she's 1,000.